Good morning, Central Baptist Church family and guests. We're glad that you're joining us here by way of technology to be able to be a part of our Sunday morning, March the 22nd message, as we're in the midst of this pretty much nationwide pandemic of the coronavirus. And I want to just go ahead and mention, if you don't have a Bible with you, please go ahead and grab one real quick. We're actually going to be looking at a passage out of Hebrews chapter 12 today. Hebrews chapter 12. We're also having a meeting of our leadership team this morning, and we'll try to send some updates out on what is discussed on Sunday morning in regard to what the rest of our week looks like, and maybe even the coming future. I know this has kind of turned everybody's life upside down. But once again, we're going to be looking at a passage out of Hebrews chapter 12 today. Now, I want to let you know that I believe that God is using this crisis to call people back to Him. Yeah, God is talking, and one of the ways that God speaks is through allowing circumstances into our lives and into our world that are not pleasant. He allows those circumstances to get our undivided attention, what many would call a wake-up call. So I want to take just a few moments to answer the question probably on most people's minds, and that is, what on earth is going on? To answer that question, we need to recognize a very important biblical principle. Everything visible and physical is preceded by something invisible and spiritual. So if you want to deal with the physical, visible problem, then you must identify the invisible spiritual cause. To put it another way, you know, if what you see is all you see, you do not see all that there is to be seen. Okay, let's look for just a moment at Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading at verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 25, says this: "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Let us pray together. Father, we once again want to thank you for the opportunities that you are putting before us. Lord, we thank you so much for keeping us safe. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be your church, to continue to be your hands and feet. And Lord, although we're in the midst of this pandemic and it has just turned our lives upside down, Lord, we know that you've got some special plans for us. Lord, you are shaking our foundations. Help us, Father, to be able to see and understand that in such a fashion that we will see the spiritual things that you want to do in the midst of what all is taking place. So we ask that you would be with our time, be with our leadership staff as we navigate our way through this, that we might hear loudly and clearly from you, that we might be about your business in some very, very trying times. Bless our time, Lord, as we meet here today by technology, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this passage contrasts the visible created world with the invisible spiritual realm of God's kingdom, and it warns people not to refuse to listen to God when he is speaking to them. For these verses, which describe God shaking the earth, we draw the principle that God allows disruptions into our lives in order to get our attention. Yeah, God, in all honesty, has not been a priority in American society, particularly of the past decade or so. We have marginalized him, and we have turned to idols instead. Now, let me define idols for just a moment. Idols doesn't necessarily mean something like a statue or whatever, although it can be. Idols are anything that we put ahead of God. That can be relationships. That could be material things. It could be money. It could be so many things. And America has turned, you know, to idols instead of turning to God. When we forget about God, often we read in the Bible and see, you know, in the world that God will shake things up. That is, he will allow our normalcy, what is normal for us, the normal things in our lives, to be impacted. We're having to do church in a completely different way than we've ever done it. Yeah, different doesn't mean bad. In fact, Wednesday night's Bible study broadcast was viewed by 2,079 people. That's a pretty good Wednesday evening attendance, don't you think? You see, we know God is speaking now because our world has been disrupted. We need to embrace these disruptions and look for God's movement in the middle of what appears to be all of this madness. See, this pandemic has disrupted our lives, our work, our play, our sports, our travel, our fun, and it's even disrupted our gatherings as a church. It has taken what was normal and made it abnormal. In fact, it's made even some sectors of life even dangerous. But this is a great opportunity to return to God, who allowed the shaking to occur. This opportunity is for us to stop putting our hope in the created things, as the Hebrew passage is telling us, and instead to trust God as citizens of the kingdom, a kingdom which cannot be disrupted, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. See, our current suffering from this pandemic could be compared to the pain that women experience in childbirth. Now, I know some of you all would say you have no idea what the pain of childbirth is like, and I will concur that you are absolutely right. Labor is extremely painful. I've witnessed that with the birth of my son, you know, through my wife. I've heard many tell about what sort of a painful circumstance that is. And no one desires that suffering in and of itself. But when we recognize that new life is the result that becomes the good news in a bad situation. So, you know, it's the pain that's endured now for something that is better a little bit later on down the road. See, there's a lot of good that has come as a result of this pandemic. People in our nation's capital who were not talking to each other, you know, are now beginning to speak with one another. People across our country are helping one another and trying to be more responsible than ever before. You see, God is forcing us to not just say that we're one nation under God, but to start acting like we're truly one nation under God. This virus did not happen by chance, and it did not take God by surprise. Now, I do not believe that God is deliberately inflicting suffering on people. God is not causing the virus, but he is allowing it in order to accomplish a spiritual purpose in not only your life and my life, but the lives of Christians all across not only the country, but all across the world. So what does this mean for those of us who are already part of God's kingdom? Well, it means that we should do a couple of things. One, we should give thanks. Now, I want us to think about that for just a moment. What does it mean? And what am I saying when I say for us to give thanks? Now, I'm not saying that you give thanks for the problem, but you give thanks in the problem. Now, you know, we can always sit back and begin to count our blessings along the way and be able to say, you know what, Lord, there are some really incredible things that you are doing along the way with this circumstance and with this situation. So I'm going to give you thanks for the fact that I still have food on the table. I want to give you thanks that so far, you know, life hasn't gotten into such a tragic issue that I'm having to scramble around. I thank you for my family, for my friends. I thank you for my church. I thank you for the people that care. That's one of the things we need to do. We need to give thanks. The second thing we need to do is that we need to serve other people. You know, the church is not a building. I've said that before. You'll hear me say that again before this particular message is over. But we need to begin to serve other people. We are being told, one of the things we're being told is to wash our hands a lot. You know, I want to just encourage you to start with washing your heart. You know, in the book of Psalm, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might worship you." Well, as you wash your hands and you wash your heart, I want you to metaphorically wash somebody else's feet. Now, when we think about that in the Bible, when we talk about washing somebody else's feet, that is a very humbling experience. That's one of those things that really gets down to the brass tacks of who you are. Folks, it is time for us as God's people to begin to serve other folks. It's not all about us. It's about other people. So I want to encourage you to serve someone else. Now, I want you to do that in keeping with the law, in keeping with the social distancing and the things that are taking place right now. Sometimes it's just as simple as a phone call. We have shut-ins within our church. We have neighbors. You have neighbors. Call, check on those neighbors. Let them know that during this time, you are here for them. So metaphorically, you know, I want you to begin to not only wash your hands, to not only wash your heart, but I want you to wash somebody else's feet. I want you to go and to serve that neighbor. Now is a time, essentially, for us to stop the fighting, to stop the arguing as a country. Now is a time for serving and showing kindness. It is a time to be the church. Yeah, maybe through this pandemic, God has shaken us out of the church building and sprinkled us into the world that we might be the church instead of simply attending a building that we call the church. See, if you're a Christian, if you're part of this unshakable kingdom, you know, I want to give thanks. I want you to give thanks for the fact that this pandemic does not own you because God already owns you. See, don't be a casual Christian. This is a time for full-time Christians, not part-time saints. Be all in. You know, that was one of the ACC football team's motto this past year was be all in. You know, for those, you know, who don't have a relationship with Christ, I want to let you know that today is the day of salvation. There's a lot of panic that is going on. There are a lot of folks who are turning to the Lord in the midst of this crisis. And if you've never taken that time in your life to confess your sin before the Lord, to ask forgiveness, and the Lord is tugging at your heartstrings right now, I want to encourage you to begin that relationship today. If you've never trusted Christ, if you've never allowed him into your heart, I'm just going to ask you that you simply do this. Just simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I realize that I am a sinner. I ask you, Father, to forgive me, to come into my heart, and to save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, I want to serve you. And Lord, I realize that today that you are greater than any pandemic, that you are greater than anything that could ever come along that would shake my faith. Lord, you're shaking the foundations, and I feel that shaking. I'm turning to you. So, Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to know that if you took that moment to ask the Lord to come into your heart and to save your soul, then he did. And I want to encourage you to contact us at the church, whether it's by email, whether it's by phone, whatever source or whatever way that you can. Please contact us. Let us know that you trusted Christ today. We want to be sure that we can get some material in your hand to help disciple you along the way, that you might be able to grow in Christ. I trust that that the fear is not gripping you, that the fear is not captivating you and causing you great stress within your life. Because I know this, that the God who is shaking the foundations is far greater than the epidemic or pandemic or the coronavirus or anything else that could come along your way. Our hope and our trust is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I trust and pray that your week will go well. Once again, your church stands ready to meet your needs as best we can in whatever shape, form, or fashion that we can. Hopefully, either tonight or tomorrow, we will be putting an update out in regard to the findings of our leadership team from this morning to keep you abreast of what's going on. Once again, I want to remind you there are ways that you can get your tithe to the church. I almost hate to talk about it, but tithing is important because during these times that we're out, we still have a power bill to pay. We still have salaries to pay. I want to thank those who gave online this past week. I want to thank those who dropped your tithe off by the church. Once again, we're here to help you in any way possible, but we do want to stress the importance of your giving during this time when we're not able to come together and when we're not able to meet. Once again, you'll be able to find a way that you can give online by going to www.oakridgecbc, which stands for Central Baptist Church, oakridgecbc.org. Once again, oakridgecbc.org. Look for the giving tab. You can click that. And you can also see some other ways by which you can give. If you want to bring it by the church, that's fine as well. We'll be more than happy to make sure that it gets in there and gets counted. Once again, we will continue to pray for one another. We'll try to keep you posted as best we can by way of technology as well as leadership team findings as of this morning. So until then, may God bless you. We look forward to the time when we'll have a chance to once again gather as a body in a place called Central Baptist Church. Until then, though, we love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you later.